Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Sweet Christmas! Netflix crashing can't stop us. We're talking about episodes 5 and 6 of Luke Cage here at AfterBuzz TV. Let's get started.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Luke Cage After Show. That's right, we're talking about Gotta Catch a Rep and Suckers Need Bodyguards. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Thanks so much for joining us. Tari Miller's here.
Yo, my name's Tari Miller. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Tari J, G-A-R-I-J-A-Y.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique.
And I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me all over social media as A-Torres-890.
Jesse Klein unfortunately couldn't join us. The Netflix delay. For those of you who are watching this later, that is how powerful Luke Cage is. That it we're talking about it on Saturday. It crashed the Netflix servers.
Completely decimated.
Crashed it
for over an hour. Like, it wasn't like a 5 minute like standby, we'll be right back up. It was over an hour Netflix trying to get their engineers in to make sure that the site was back up and running. Crazy, but the fans online were hilarious and adorable, so we appreciate you guys sticking with us.
Yeah. So Jesse Klein unfortunately couldn't stay, so we will continue on in his stead. But let's talk about these episodes, you guys. By the end of episode 6, I could not believe that this was only episode 6 and not the season finale.
Amazing.
Because this was such an intense and also just a perfectly clean arc of a season that you could have ended it here and gone home and we would have been like, that was a great series, you guys.
It would have been soul satisfying.
It is not even halfway through.
What is coming up next? Oh my god, I'm scared. I'm legitimately scared. Like, we've been talking a lot today about how Black Mariah is going to rear her ugly head. I think we're about to get to it. She's been left with nothing. And now I think Diamondback's time to shine has got to be coming up. We've been asking where Shades is. We didn't see him a lot in the last episode. So whatever's around the corner, it's going to be bad. Like, Luke is going to have some adversity. Like, where he's been, you know, struggling with himself, Luke Cage against Luke Cage. This is about to be Luke Cage versus Harlem, and I'm very scared and a little excited.
Well, let's start at the top, because in a lot of ways, that's what Cottonmouth was trying to do, was get Harlem against Luke Cage. Like, so all of his money's gone after the last few episodes.
I just love that his accountant was like, you're broke. No sugarcoating. He's like, you're broke.
The accountant was like, no, look, this is how it is. Cottonmouth is like nuts. Like, the guy just like, one of his people just suggested maybe.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Leave him alone and he'll go away. Didn't like just say, no, we're doing this, or be forceful. He was nervously like, I have an idea.
I read a book.
Based on a book.
In the meeting, though. That's the one thing I don't understand. I'm like, why are you doing it in the meeting?
He's no reading. He's like, I just read about it. Didn't get to the end of the chapter to see how it works out. But that doesn't go very well for him.
I really feel like maybe that was the best decision on Cottonmouth's part, though, just to be like, you're too dumb to roll with me. Like, no. If you don't know how this ends and you've grown up here, you live here currently, you should probably leave. I don't feel bad for him.
I reiterate my stance of earlier. I am never going on any adventure, criminal and or otherwise, with Joelle.
Look, you can't bring dumb people with you. That's how you fall. And I feel like if you're going to make these suggestions in a meeting in front of other people...
What is in your coffee? What is happening? I want some of that.
He was trying to educate himself, better himself as a person, and now he did.
I can't even remember the phrase that he used. I was like, benign something. Yeah. And I love how, like, even Cottonmouth was just like, excuse me?
Benign neglect.
There it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the phrase.
Oh, God. That guy was just trying. He just showed up for work, okay? He was like, I'm here. I did my... half-assed research. I just want to be part of the group, guys.
Yeah, I'd like to imagine he got up that morning.
Love me, senpai. I don't know.
Oh, man. But so Cottonmouth, like, he wants to get as much money back as he can. So he's going to up his, like, racketeering schedule, basically.
Right.
And he sends his gang out to just, like, hit up every store.
Jeez.
In the worst way. Mm-hmm. Like, these are people who theoretically have paid this, like, protection money or whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it.
The Luke Cage stupidity tax comes in hard force, and they... What crazy to me about that was just the name-dropping. Like, the whole, like, trying to get Harlem to turn on Luke Cage. Like, man is bulletproof. I'm not sure what... Like, even if all of Harlem's like, we hate you, Luke Cage, like, do you think that he's that emotionally vulnerable that would get him to leave? I just feel like Cottonmouth's plans are never fully thought out either. Like, he's a smart cat, but...
I mean, that's probably why Shades was like, I don't know what you're doing right now. Like, your plans mm-hmm. don't make sense. Why don't you just... I mean, we'll get to that part. But, like, I don't want to say I agree with Shades, but I agree with what he was trying to portray.
Yeah.
That he's just thinking with emotion, not...
Well, he's mm-hmm. reacting instead of planning. Like, look, these are the cards you've been dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Always forward... And that's always forward is exactly what Cottonmouth is not doing
mm-hmm.
right now. He is purely focused on, like, this guy screwed me over.
Yeah.
And he's gonna throw his whole kingdom after it to try to stop one man.
Same thing again, all eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I will say, I was a little unclear, especially at the beginning of this, what they knew about Luke.
Yeah, me too. Because
we saw in the news, like, it, and people were, like, filming him, like, lifting stuff up. So I feel like it's clear to everyone, like, he's an enhanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But do they not know about his bulletproofness? Like, I figured they would imply that from the Fort Knox robbery. But it seems like Cottonmouth has no idea.
Yeah, it's so strange.
Yeah, not until we have the incident a little bit later in his club when Luke Cage confronts
him. Once he, like, sees it, like, in front person? Of his face, he knows. But, like, to this point when he's trying to get everyone to turn on him, my only thought was that he was trying to get them to be violent towards him.
Yeah.
But maybe it was as simple as just making him, like, think he needs to just get run out of town, like, for personal reasons.
Right. Yeah.
I also like to imagine that, like, there are all these stories about enhanced people and, you know, the devil of Hell's Kitchen, and you never know what is real and what's not. So, like, you could hear this story about Luke Cage being bulletproof or being basically impenetrable, but, like, you never really believe it until you see it and there's actual evidence of it.
You know, these shows kind of leave out social media, and I think it'd be really interesting to see how this spreads across social media, like, from, like, neighborhood legend to...
Yeah. I was actually really curious about that because we did see two people that looked like they were filming him, but we didn't really get much of talking about, like, people Snapchatting or YouTube or whatever of Luke Cage just doing stuff around Harlem.
Yeah, like, this is definitely
it's very interesting.
An older showrunner, because I think millennials would have been all over, like, how does Twitter and Snapchat feel about this guy?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting to see how Harlem people reacted to that. Because, like, these thugs came in and beat you up, and they're like, blame Luke Cage. And you're trusting them on who to blame? These guys just robbed you.
I feel like they go to him for answers, which, again, just shows, like, giant plot holes in Cottonmouth's plan. Because if you tell me to go talk to Luke Cage about why this happened, I'm probably going to go to Luke Cage and be like, so what's up? And Luke Cage has no idea what's going on or why, other than to say, like, Cottonmouth hates me and he's taking it out on you, which doesn't really reflect well on anyone in the situation.
It worked on Aisha. Because, like, she showed up, like, Like, it's your fault. Like, you gotta get my ring back. Like, Luke Cage is like, what are you talking about? I've been in here trying on suits all day.
Which, Dapper Dan, you did a great job.
Oh, it's really
so good.
Yeah, and I feel...
No tight jackets for that guy. Well...
Tight in the right way.
Yes. Yeah, I feel bad for Aisha, because it's clear, like, she just has no other options. And yeah. if you're kind of direct, she's like, you're going to make something happen, or I will with her gun. Yeah, she was all for it. I don't know. I feel really... I'm just not sure what Cottonmouth is thinking. I don't know if he is thinking. He's probably not.
No. Yeah. I've always, since earlier today, got the feeling that his cousin was the planner, and he was the one who just gets things done.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and so now that she's kind of she's on the political trail, he's kind of left to his own devices and just making snap decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we talk about her for just a moment? I haven't seen much of Black Mariah before in the comics. She's got a couple of things here and there, but she's not huge. This is definitely
To clarify, is she called Black Mariah in the comics?
Okay. Yeah, she leads the Rat Pack, which is a group of villains, and their first, like, heists are, like, having fake ambulances picking up bodies and then pickpocketing those bodies. Like, that's Black Mariah in the comics. So to see her go from... that, like, circa 76 to, like, currently in the comic book universe, she's, like, kind of like Amanda Waller, but just evil. So she's, like, a bigger black woman. She's in a tracksuit in issue 3 of Power Man and Iron Fist.
What?
Yeah, and she's in, like, a tracksuit, like, sitting on top of Luke Cage. It's really funny. but to see her go from that to them making her a politician who wants both glory and a better life for her community, I think is really brilliant, because she has so much more agency now, and I'm so much more interested in her as a character as opposed to the cartoon character she's kind of been in the comic books. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about these changes for Black Mariah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fascinating character to watch. We don't really see a lot of her in episode 5, but definitely what happens in episode 6, which we'll get to in a little bit. But, like, I want to talk about, like, everything that led up to the funeral.
Yes.
Sure.
Because Luke just, like, as soon as he hears about this, like, he hesitates maybe for a moment. And then he's just like, no, I'm going to go get these people. He's like, I'm looking for a friend. Les Paul.
Oh, yeah. And that was great.
Yeah, it was cool to see him go one-on-one and kind of in a much more comedic kind of sense than we've seen him. Like, it's always been very dramatic as he's charging into these fights. But here, like, dude rushes up on him, and he just kind of, like, baby slaps him. Like, there's no real force behind it. That guy goes flying. You're like, oh, snap, Luke. So it was really fun to see him just do, like, kind of a slow pick in, and then actually help the community. And you feel him kind of becoming more a part of Harlem as he goes to find each individual piece, which I thought was a cool effect.
Yeah.
Especially with, I don't know, I feel bad that I didn't know who the blonde woman that he was trying to help out with. I didn't know if we got her name. But,
I don't think so.
But I loved how he, like, he's just walking out with her and he's like, are those two the ones? Yeah. And then he comes over to beat them up and they're like, he's like, do you know who I am? And he's like, it's Luke Cage, asshole. And I'm like, I just love that the community was starting to get back onto his side like that.
Yeah.
Even though they were all shooken up a few minutes ago.
He's becoming, now we're seeing him become like the character that we know from the books.
Yeah.
Which is Luke Cage, the protector of Harlem. Mm-hmm. Like the guy who keeps Harlem safe, not just... the guy who's a hero for hire. Like, this was his first role, was, like, protecting Harlem.
Yeah. And we see that exemplified when he goes to talk to the father, who's...
Eddie?
Yeah, who's kind of strung out all the time, and he's drunk. We see him drinking a Colt 45, which I liked, because it just feels very of that community. And to see him kind of talk him down and be like, look, you could do better. Like, I'm trying to change what's going on, what's being spoken about behind my name, and you could do it, too. You have all the opportunity. You have a daughter who loves you. Like, maybe just put the beer down and try it. And you see that it has an effect. Like, it doesn't change immediately. It's not overnight. But I hope we come back to that character and see if Luke's words had any effect on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's definitely possible. So the funeral. Because, getting there, Misty.
Oh.
Let's talk about Misty before the funeral.
Oh, I don't want to talk about
snap her off on her.
Oh, God.
Misty, I want to be on your side. For the most part, but like she tells Luke not to go to the funeral.
This is a low point for Misty.
I was so upset. I was like, who are you right now? Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, from her perspective, mm-hmm. I mean, you could argue that it is Luke's fault that sure. Pops died.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she
can you though?
In a way.
Oh, here we go.
From the evidence Misty has yes. gotten herself, without knowing the full story, I could definitely see where she's like, everything has changed since you've come around.
And she said that, too. Yeah. I think. I don't know which episode it was, but yeah. For
yeah.
Sure.
And she sees him as a vigilante, as a cop who believes in the rules and doesn't yet know she's been working with a dirty partner, mm-hmm. believes that this is the best case scenario. Like, when cops do good work, you know, they put criminals behind bars. They help clean up the streets. A vigilante is just causing terror. And I get it. Like, I believe that at this point in time, Misty doesn't believe that Luke Cage really understands Pop's morality and yeah. follows that. And so while I understand that, I feel like she skipped a bunch of police work. You don't know Luke. Like, you have hardly any proof that he's done anything. All you know is that he, like... And even if, like, the crimes, like, he left the money behind. He didn't kill anyone. Like, he's miraculously doing a lot of really good work, and you didn't take the time to try to figure out why he's doing things. You just leapt to these really grandiose conclusions. So I do agree with Alexis. I was really upset with her in this moment.
And I understand from where you're coming from, where it's like all this trouble that you've caused in trying to measure your downstairs with this other person who's obviously equally dangerous is crappy, but it's not fair to tell someone not to go to someone's funeral when you clearly know that this person loves Pop just as much as you do. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like that she had the brass to sit yeah. there and tell him not to go to the funeral. Like, that I didn't like. But I understood the pain behind it.
Right.
Like, bro, arrange the funeral. Like, calm down, Missy.
I know. Like, you didn't even help with money for that, so you have no damn right to tell me not to go. I'm the one that picked the coffin. I'm the one that did the plans, even though I didn't pay for most of
I'm
it.
I'm the one cleaning up his shop.
I'm the one
the
that's
blood.
Trying to build back what Pop started, and you're sitting here running around acting like, whatever. I'm gonna bring it back now. But yes, it's frustrating to me.
Yeah.
And then we gotta talk about the funeral itself, which was its own craziness.
First of all, shout out to the organist, who was always on point, just ready with all of with the fake record scratch of the off key harmonization.
Oh, that's what I forgot to tweet out, was what she said. Dang it! It just reminded me, because I was so into the episode, that funeral scene was so crazy. Sorry, I didn't mean to shake up all the bobbleheads at the same time, but that it was just perfect. And the organist just the entire time, she was, I don't know if it was a she or a he, but he was
just
on point,
just ready for all of it.
Yeah,
beautiful. It starts off. It's like it's a nice funeral, you got Bobby Fish leading things. Mm-hmm. After he started renovations on the barbershop.
Then
he sort of opens the floor, and this is where the Luke Cage versus Cottonmouth.
Oh, like, God.
This is the war moves into the open,
mm-hmm.
is the way I see it. Because, like, even like what the whole like Luke Cage stupidity tax, like that thing, it was still, yeah, it was loud, but it was still like behind closed doors. This was like, we are at a podium showing you all that, like, we are gonna go at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a weirdly sold out crowd too. Like, what I liked about the funeral, like, just as far as like extras and everything go, is like you could feel the community in there.
Yes.
Like this, like we hear a lot of talk about how Pops was important to everyone, how he was Switzerland, and then to have a full church, like a big church, entirely full, and then to hear a eulogy from someone we've never seen before, who said, you know, my father wasn't in my life, but I wanted to tell Pops that he had a grandkid coming.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. It gave me chills. It was such an empowering moment, and it really showed the legacy of Pop outside of the one-on-one connection, like, as on Harlem as a whole.
And I liked that even Fish brought up the fact of, he's like, I gotta figure out, this is gonna be the hardest chess game for me, because he has to figure out how to seat everybody and everything. And in my brain, I was going, wait, how many people are coming to Pop's funeral? But I was not expecting this giant church in New York City to be completely filled up. It was nuts.
I think it's just that, like, everyone, Pop really had that much of an effect on the community.
Yeah,
so.
No, and I think that's awesome that we got to see that. I mean, obviously, the funeral was getting pretty epic.
Almost had a shootout inside of it. Thank God for Luke Cage's cool head.
I understand also that Aisha is, again, going through something emotional and stuff, but like,
girl,
you couldn't think of a better time to do that? Like, oh yeah, hey, there's
there's a funeral, let's just add another body. Like, yeah. Like what?
Once again, reactionary and not, you exactly. know, making a solid plan.
Yeah.
No, I will say.
Oh, man, Tara, you were just playing devil's advocate all day.
I will say that, I mean, it's the only place that she was going to have access to Cottonmouth.
True.
Sans going into his club.
Which would be suicide.
That would be terrible to do.
And like you said, just add another, just throw Cottonmouth in there.
Oh, no.
You
know? No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So then we have speeches at the podium, and Cottonmouth's speech was, for one point I was like nodding along, I was like, no, you know he's evil, slow it down. But it was, he knows how to speak, like he's an eloquent, an engaging speaker, which is hard to do kind of both a lot of times.
But you can still agree with him because he was talking about pop in a highly fashion. It was starting to get into Luke's stuff that we were like, okay, all right. But like, you can tell he was speaking from the heart. At one point, and you're like, all right, we already knew from episode 2 that he deeply regretted that Pop even had to be involved, period. Mm-hmm. So I can just imagine how hard it is for him, kind of, at the funeral. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
He got a nice quarter standing ovation. Like a spatter, and people were like, yes, we hear you. Because he made a promise to help clean up the streets. And despite being dirty, he's there, and he's from the streets, and people know him, and he's connected with politicians. So there's, like, this feeling of, like, maybe he could do it. Like, maybe he has the power to make things better. And I don't know this Luke Cage person. He's new. He terrifies me. And I thought it was, like, such a big thing for Luke to have to follow that. Like, a son of Harlem, and then an outsider who's really kind of, he's doing well, but he's also kind of beaten down. Like, he lost his best friend. Like, he's been through a whole lot. So for him to get up there and then to very, like, right off the bat be like, it's not about me. Like, some people might put themselves up here in posture and say they can do all this stuff, but I'm here to tell you what Pop stood for. And it got me right here.
Yeah.
Right in my heart.
Yeah.
It's like, Pop's wouldn't want, like, war on the streets. Like, he wants, like, Pops didn't care about, like, you weren't from here.
Mm-hmm.
You were working here now. So you're here. That's the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Always forward.
Yes. No, I really liked Luke's story. Not to harp on this a little bit longer, but I really loved Luke's story about what Pop wanted for uniforms and stuff like that in his shop. Like, I thought that was really, really nice. And I don't know. I just... I know what he's talking about. And the diamonds talk about how people, you know, all you have to do is just kind of buff out the edges and everyone comes in, you know, looking dirty, but there's still diamonds underneath. Like, that was crazy. And I think that's why I loved seeing the huge difference from, like, Cottonmouth's speech, which was kind of talking a little bit more about him.
Mm-hmm. And what he can do.
And what he can do, which is, like, you're seeing this guy of stature and power, and then you have Luke who's just like, I'm just being humble and I want to talk about Pop.
Well, and what can we do as a community to make it better? Mm-hmm. Like, we are all under pressure so that we can all become diamonds, but it's going to take all of us to move in the right direction. Yep. Kudos to Luke. He did a good job.
And I know I saw Alexis, at least. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I saw Alexis, like, freeze up when he's like, I'm not here for support. What was the line?
I'm not here for Harlem or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't believe in Harlem.
That was it.
Oh.
I believe in the people who live in Harlem.
Yeah. It took me a minute. I was like, you're trying to get yourself killed in this church. You can't tell people that. It's like you go into a Laker game going, I don't believe in the Lakers. Why, whoa. And then we're like, I don't support the Lakers, but I support the people behind it. Yeah, and you're
the
like,
fans.
What the fuck? Like, it was just, it was too close. I was just like, you are just teetering on death's system. I don't care if you're bulletproof, you're gonna die.
It's like, I almost had
him. It was kind of like he was like building you up, and then it was just that weird landing. Yeah. It was just like, you kind of flailed off at the end there. So.
He got it.
But yeah, everything's fine.
I just
had a tiny heart attack. That's okay.
It was scary.
The other person that showed up in these episodes, Night Nurse!
Yes!
I love her so much.
Seeing Rosario Dawson on these shows. She's the Phil Coulson of the Netflix. She's
fine.
Yeah.
Hi.
And she fits so well into every storyline that she comes into. So for those of you who may not remember or may not have watched Jessica Jones and or Daredevil, Claire Temple was a nurse. She works at a hospital. She is also a comic book character known as the Night Nurse, who helps to protect, to heal superheroes who get hurt in the line of duty. We last saw her in Jessica Jones when she just happened to be on shift when Jessica brought Luke Cage to the hospital after he got shot in the face with a shotgun.
Oh God.
Which the big thing about Luke Cage is like his main weakness, and we see Mariah and Cottonmouth at one point like going over like how can you kill a man who's bulletproof? Well, there's a number of ways, and like just because his skin is bulletproof doesn't mean he's invincible. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that he's susceptible, and I actually have some questions about this based on like how his powers have reacted in these episodes, but because like he got hit with the shotgun at point blank range, like pressed up against him. It caused his brain to rattle around inside his skull and caused a massive concussion, like where they needed to like relieve the pressure and everything by sticking a needle. And she had to, I apologize, go through his eye.
Yeah, she did. The only place to drain it.
But that's because Luke's biggest weakness is that if he has internal injuries, there's no surgery. You can't do surgery on a man with unbreakable skin.
Now, right? He does heal because she said that, you know, we saw him heal from a brain hemorrhage in a matter of hours. So it seems like he can heal internally, but it just will take some time.
Well, it's the same thing where, like, he could heal because he managed to get some of the... He managed to get the pressure removed, and so that he was, like, okay, and then the body could heal. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of cases where if you don't do the proper medical procedures, the body is not capable of healing itself.
Right.
And just because he has accelerated healing doesn't mean that he'll be okay regardless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the comics, like, the only way he can, like, be operated on, like, when he has, like, internal, like, hemorrhaging or whatever, is Doctor Strange. Like, Doctor Strange uses magic to go inside and, like, do surgery him. That's it. That's all he's got.
That's kind of awesome, though. If Doctor Strange is your only on-call doctor.
I love that.
It's not good, because there's only one.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, he gets caught in other dimensions a lot.
This is true.
Maybe
you can teach night nurse.
Can Wakandan steel cut him open? Can we experiment?
No, it wouldn't. It's unbreakable.
Wow.
And there's a lot of questions. Like, we had questions about him sweating.
Yeah. Because we were talking about the pores and stuff like that.
Yeah, if it's unbreakable, like, if you can't cut it, can sweat come out of it? I would say it seems like he gets sweaty, so...
I don't know. We saw him in a fireball thing, and he did not seem like he was breaking a sweat busting out of that... either building? Out of the prison or out of the building.
Yeah, he seemed like he was just completely just flawless.
As always.
Because, like, some hair gets through...
I mean, only in this area.
Well, but like,
which only adds more questions because hair is essentially dead skin cells and internal cells. So, like, shouldn't half of those hairs be impervious? Shouldn't you have like big giant blotches of hair that can't be cut?
I don't know. Like, I'm confused because I'm like thinking, I'm like, wait. So he's had his head shaved. He's had the same haircut for quite some time now. So I'm like, does your hair grow back? Or is it, that's it? Like, you did it one time and you can't do it anymore. Like, you can't go any further. You shaved it all off, it's done. I love how you're just messing with your hair as we're doing it.
It's falling off, and then I'm like, I have a big forehead. I'm thinking about a lot, guys. There's a lot happening here.
I mean, then there's, like, the question of, all right, so he has unbreakable skin. He clearly has super strength. The shotgun did a lot of internal damage, but he also seems to be immovable. In like these episodes when we see him stop a car, so like I would love to see him sort of try to figure out what the limits are because his abilities seem to be growing and growing, and that's totally acceptable if that's the answer. I'm just very curious what his limitations are.
Night Nurse is curious too.
Yeah,
she's got ideas and plans.
Yeah, and coffee,
but she's not going for coffee.
But yeah, I mean, Night Nurse.
We will talk about that.
Night Nurse in both of these episodes, like we see like the other thing that we last saw her in. Daredevil, because Daredevil season 2 was after Jessica Jones.
It's really.
I was watching Jessica Jones most recently after Daredevil, so that's why it got crossed my head.
Well, no, because that's why I asked you guys. I mean, we were off camera at the point because we were watching the episode. I was like, "What timeline are we in? Is this before Jessica Jones? Is this after Jessica Jones?
It's after Jessica Jones and after Daredevil season 2, which is more clearly established in this episode because Claire refers to Daredevil spoilers. Her hospital getting raided by ninjas. Because that's just a thing that happens in
Brought
Hell's
back
Kitchen.
From the yeah. dead.
Yeah. I do love that, like, she escaped. She's like, I had to get out of there. You know, it's too crazy. You're 40 blocks north. Or, like, 60, maybe 80 blocks to 100 blocks north.
That's true New York. That's true New York. When you leave your borough or your neighborhood, you're in a different world. Like, if you go from, like, Manhattan to Queens, it's not the same place.
I disagree. I commuted all over the place when I was in New York. Like, oh, I gotta go from Manhattan down to the Bronx, down to over to Queens. Like, you go all over the place when you got jobs.
Yeah, when you got jobs. But if you're stationed, like, it's the same in Chicago. Like, if you live in Lincoln Park and you have to go to Logan Square, like, you're aware that you're still in Chicago, but it might as well be an entirely different place. You're like, I have to go all the way over there. I can't. Maybe I gotta take two separate trains. It's a lot of work.
Maybe just because my friends, like, disperse to different parts of New York, but I'm just like, just get on the one. It's not hard. It's 250.
And Tari and I are like, yeah. Woo! I mean, you could do that, too, if you drive down to San Diego. It looks completely different being in
LA. I mean, it's like moving from the Valley to Santa Monica.
No, totally. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Like, no, you're in different states. To that point, oh, I'm just saying, one train ride away. You could even read a book on your way if you wanted. You could read about.
It's okay, Trey. I feel your. I feel your pain.
What was it? Benign. benign.
What we just said it.
We did just
Isn't
say it.
Benign neglect.
Benign neglect.
Yeah.
You can even read about benign neglect on
Stop
your
it.
Way up
Stop
town.
It, Zach.
That's a death
anyway.
Sentence.
Anyway. Anyway.
Still running a cotton.
But I love that Claire's thought now, because she. What I was saying, like, she. The last place that we saw her was she quit.
Yeah.
Her hospital job because there was a lot of corruption with the hospital. And she wouldn't do it anymore.
Or was she forced out? I'm so sorry to interrupt because
she quit.
They gave her an option, but it wasn't really an option.
They sort of like were like you like fall in line with what we're doing and they're burying a lot of the truth and all that. Like fall in line with that or you're gone. And so she quit.
Copy. Okay.
So it was it's a little of both. But now she wants to start her own specialized hospital just for enhanced individuals. I will watch that show, Netflix.
Yeah, give it to me. I want that programming.
Start development now.
Yes.
And we can have it ready in time for, like, right after, like, in time for the Defenders. Like,
yes.
Sure.
Come
we
on.
We'll be here for it. We will do the after show.
Phase two.
I would
Netflix.
I would love to see what that, the crew, like, the night crew for Night Nurse yes. that, at the hospital must look like.
Yeah. Well, there's.
Rosario.
Look, you could have Rosario Dawson, and then you bring in Rachel McAdams.
Nice.
From. Because she's playing another Night Nurse, because there's a whole team of them.
Yeah.
She's playing another Night Nurse character in Doctor Strange.
Oh.
So you bring her in, and then you start forming a team round up.
Oh my god.
Great.
And those awesome. Two women as leads would be stunning.
Oh, are you kidding me? That'd be great.
We'd be there for it.
Alright. While we're dreaming about that, I liked Claire's mom.
Oh my god,
oh, she's amazing. She's so sweet.
I love her.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Although she doesn't know how to text.
Did she not know how to text her? Was she like, you just need to get in here? Like, yeah. I'm not texting you. I have to speak to you face to face. You need to see that Luke Cage is in our restaurant. Get over here.
Well, because it's not just that it's Luke Cage. Like, she knows their relationship at this point. Mm-hmm. We see Claire telling her mom about, like, that's the guy I saved. It was funny to see that Luke doesn't even remember
or
know. Because the truth is, he only saw her for maybe 5 minutes.
Yep. I like that Jessica Bobby Jones. Fish's reaction was just like, who's this beautiful woman? Why is she talking to you?
Man, Luke Cage, you dog.
Yeah. Luke Cage is such a player. No, I also like the fact that we can see Luke get bashful. Which
it was
is
adorable.
Oh,
You're just like, God. Hey. And I was like, yeah, you do that.
Yeah.
That's Rosario Dawson. You better do it.
And it's clearly the first time he's seeing her face. He's like, oh,
I don't remember.
You?
Yeah, I don't
all
remember
that?
You saving
I wonder,
me. Hi.
I wonder if he's gotten tired of people coming up to him now at all. Because, like, it seems like Well, the other big, like, because, like, just to leave, like, the other big cameo that we got in this one, it wasn't even on screen, but it still was enough for me to go, like, yeah! And everyone else in the room was like, what? It was at the top of episode 6, the radio announcer was Trish Walker. Yay. Doing her radio show.
It's jarring.
Tari's like, sure.
Yay.
She's from Jessica Jones, guys.
Yeah.
She's Jessica's best friend.
Yeah.
Her best friend, a.k.a. hopefully soon, Hellcat.
Bring it. I'm ready.
Which is one of her, which like is currently, Hellcat. Granted that it is wildly different from anything going on Netflix, one of my favorite, or most looked to, most one of the comics I'm currently reading that I look forward to the most when
Kate
it comes
Leth
out.
Is a boss. She writes the comic, and it's so amazing, and I really like the designs. We won't get too much into the comic, but
especially because it's
wonderful.
So nothing like the Hellcat you know on TV. So anyway, but I like that, like, if you're going to have a radio show, hell yeah, call her up. Like, what would she do, an arc? Like, she got other stuff to do.
I also really like the fact that...
Arc was a good movie. I'm not
Roll with
it. You can see the review on Sci-Fi Weekly.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, and I like that we get her using her public persona to defend people like Jessica and being like, I'd call him over the police. Why not?
Well, she also knows Luke. Like, don't forget, like, she and, like, her best friend was... with this guy for a little while.
Yeah, brown, chicken brown cow.
She knows too, being like, all about him. Yeah,
that's true. Okay.
All about him. All
everything.
About
she
about
saw him naked.
Him.
Everything.
All right. Everybody calm down.
We're totally adults right now. Mature. Okay. So mature.
Calm down. because there's so much else going on, and that was a lot darker in episode 6.
Like how you both think you're...
That's just how we
mainly
are.
with Scarf. Detective Scarf.
Yes.
My god. I mean, again, not to get like way too far into what happened in this episode with him, but like I love how we even Jesse brought it up was how we really liked him and then we didn't like him and now we're kind of like
mixed feelings.
How do I feel about you? Like even by the time the end of the episode, like Joelle and I were like emotional for him, you know, and stuff. So I liked his character arc. Like, I thought his story was, like, right on the nose. I think it was really good.
Yeah, he felt like a real human. Like, the fact that at one point he was a good police officer and taught Misty everything she knows. And if Misty's a good cop and accrediting Scarf with it, it feels real. And then to hear about his tragedy locking up his gun and losing his son, you understand why he becomes so disillusioned with the job and why, like... this gun is now kind of poison to him, and why should he care about anything? Like, why does anything matter? Like, he lost his kid. What does he care? And then to have that redeeming moment when, thank God, Missy gets there before he goes, and he's able to apologize for his actions.
It
killed
me.
Again, right in the feels, right in the heart, just to see a guy have to go through that much. Probably all he wanted to do was line his pockets with a little money. Like, you know, I get it. I see it. It's not good. It's not a good look, but I understand it. I feel bad.
I mean,
Look, I mean, he's gone. He even says, like, he's not a good person any means. Mm-hmm. Like, he's trying to extort a gangster for $100,000 to give him, like, high tech weaponry.
Yep.
Well, and you know what's
everything about that is evil.
Well, and what's crazier is we saw him strangle a boy to death.
I mean,
and like, I can have this emotional range for this character still. Like, I saw you murder a child. And I still kind of feel bad that you died. Like, that's great writing. That's amazing writing.
Curse you, Luke Cage writers.
I mean, that's what this show, among the other shows, has done so well, is give us villains, even the minor ones, who are not only fully formed characters, but are very... They give us the reasons that they are bad. They're not just bad for bad sake. Like, I wanted money, so I robbed a bank and killed people.
Jeez.
It's... this person had a terrible past that sent them down a deep hole of depression and regret and guilt. Yeah, Purple Man had one of the most tragic backstories. It doesn't change how evil he is now, but it's so tragic that you feel awful for him. that he went through that.
And do you understand how he got to where he got? It doesn't exactly. feel evil for evil's sake. It's like, well, when you're pushed down that far and you have no power, and then you find you have a way to obtain power, mm-hmm. of course you do everything you can to use it. And of course you get to a point where you abuse it because you're just not sure where the limit or the line is. It's incredible. It's incredible. And I'm so excited for, like, just keep bringing me these shows. Never stop. Like, Disney plans to never stop Star Wars. I hope Marvel and Netflix never end their engagement. I need this forever.
Go. Oh,
I was going to say, I almost lost it. I also like the fact that I don't think he was even ever really evil. He was just, like, super opportunistic.
Yes.
You know? He saw a chance to get money in his lonely life, as seen by that moment of him drinking PBR on his couch, like a sad person.
Oh, God.
And he just was able, cause even our first interaction with him in Cottonmouth, it was never like he was working for Cottonmouth. It was just that he was doing things for Cottonmouth's sake.
Yeah.
You know? So I really enjoyed that aspect.
But I loved how the actor was able to just, like, because we were trying to figure out, like, how does this guy have the gall to sit there and actually talk to Cottonmouth the way he is? And we had no idea why he was like that until we find out from Misty about his past. It's like, oh, he's got nothing to lose now. So he can talk to whoever he wants exactly the way he wants to, and including a guy who could just kill him, which... technically, he almost did.
Yeah. And then did, too.
Just
a slow death.
What do you think of his decision to go see Luke?
I thought that was...
To go find Luke, of all people.
I mean, like we were saying in the viewing room, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Like, it's just smart business to be like, who does Cottonmouth hate the most? And who's trying to take down Cottonmouth? Luke. I've been shot. I can't go back to the precinct. 50% of the cops are on his payroll. I will die there. Can't go to a hospital. They'll find you there. So Luke is impenetrable. It seems like the best case scenario.
Yeah. And even if he didn't survive at that point in time, he could just tell Luke everything. Looks like that's what he was seeming to plan to tell him anyway. And he would just die, and then Luke would have taken it from there.
And it's unfortunate for Misty. She gets teamed up with just another one, like the second highest, like, cop who's, like, on...
Yeah, I didn't even know he was a lieutenant until they said it over the... I don't remember where they said it, but, yeah, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm. And it was Cottonmouth talking
Yes. But it's nuts to me, because it also... I'm also trying to figure out, like, how high up does it go?
Right?
Does it end...
I think it's got to go.
Or it's got to go higher.
It's
got
to go higher because the police captain, when she's talking to Misty at the end of episode 6, is like, they think it looks bad, like it's a dirty cop, and you're on the wrong side of the window. But to me, that felt more like we could be touched. Because dirty cops, like, when you out a dirty cop, like, sometimes that plays really good in the media. Like, we're cleaning up our precinct. Like, there's spin you could do.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to invite more questions, you just kill the story.
Yeah.
And I think it goes up to the guys we saw talking back behind the window.
I mean, they looked pretty suspicious.
They
so I
did.
Like, I don't know.
You think they're killing the story? Like, they're just gonna... Like, how can you bury, though, like, half your police force?
I have no idea.
I mean, look, they arrested Cottonmouth, so in theory, maybe that's, like, they're seeing it as, like, well, we got the guy running this. We can't decimate our job, like, our workforce, but we can at least put an end to the corruption, take down the top level cops.
Well, I think they're burying the story. I don't think they're going to do anything. I don't think they're going to try to out any more dirty cops. No. I don't think they're going to say that there's a conspiracy, because who's going to believe Cottonmouth? He's dirty as hell, and it doesn't benefit him to say, hey, I paid off these cops. That's just more charges against you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think at this point, they don't have to say anything else.
Yeah, but they have a list. Like, they know who the dirty cops
are. Yeah, she
are.
Has it in the notebook.
Well, Misty does. So we'll see if Misty decides... she's obviously going to do something. Misty made up her mind at the end of that episode to be like, okay, well, I'm going to close the gaps. Like, where if they don't believe that it can be done, if they're not going to trust a dirty cop and they don't want to try it in the media, then Misty's going to take care of it. But I think the people at the top would much rather this story just end, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, I mean, if you're living in a world with vigilantes and superheroes, you don't want it to seem like you as the cops are ineffective as well.
Right.
Yeah. So...
Because you've already got, like... As they keep pointing out, a guy with a silver hammer. The show loves to call out Thor.
The entire time that we've been watching since episode 1, I'm like, what is going on? Is that, like, their favorite?
Although I would really, really like to see a Luke Cage Thor team up. in the future. I think it'd be
great.
So
I like that they even brought up a green monster. So I was like, oh man, Luke Cage against the Hulk. That would be great.
Please put him in their buddy cop movie. I will be there. I want that.
Speaking of, I got a question from Jay Renee on
Hey Jay,
what up Jay
on Twitter. So I thought this would be fun to present to the panel before we get into, because we still got to talk about Mariah and like how she went in this episode.
God, that interview was scary.
But like since we brought up the Hulk, they asked who would win in a fight, Luke Cage or the Hulk?
I'm gonna
say unbreakable skin. Mm-hmm. So, and like seemingly can take a punch versus a big green rage monster.
I would say the Hulk, just because Hulk smash, and I feel like his bones aren't unbreakable.
Mm-hmm. That's you know what I mean? Say.
Now, we did see dude in the first episode break his arm in punching him in the face. So it would be interesting to me to see how, but he's so much bigger. I don't know. I think Hulk, just because he could crush the insides of Luke.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's not the same boat. He's not Deadpool, so he doesn't fully regenerate back. You know, he has to actually have time to heal. And it seems to me he's killable. So I would go Hulk. Yeah. Unfortunately, like, I'd like to say Luke Cage, but I think it's the Hulk.
I would also say the same.
Yeah, I'd agree. Because especially if Luke Cage could be damaged by a shotgun hit to the head, you would imagine that
just one fist, just downward, like, just a bottom fist down.
The one thing I'll say, though, basically to play counterpoint, because, like,
yeah, of course,
straight up strength, like, gotta go with Hulk. But Luke Cage is smart, and presumably the whole world knows about Banner at this point.
True.
I'll bet you he could find a way to talk the Hulk down.
Maybe he can just wrap a car around him.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, and we also saw Loki get up and walk away from Hulk's just swinging him around like a yo-yo. So
I don't know.
Loki's literally a god.
Yeah,
I guess.
So, I don't know.
There's a lot of things in play here.
Well, according to...
Anyway, I just thought it was a fun question.
The chat definitely got in on that as well, and it's unanimous. They're definitely saying that we love Luke, but they definitely have to go with the Hulk. Literally every single person.
Well, which Hulk are we talking about, guys? Are we talking Eric
Bruce
Banner?
We're talking about Bruce Banner.
I love how you just stopped. You're like, no, Bruce Banner.
No, it's Bruce.
Nothing more.
Oh, but you were asking, like, which big screen Bruce Banner?
Yes.
We're talking about Mark Ruffalo and or Ed Norton, because technically they're the same person.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
Ruffalo the Buffalo. Forever and ever.
Yeah, I do love him.
Eric Bana's the same person as well, right, guys?
No.
We don't talk about
no.
that.
Eric
no.
Don't talk about that.
No.
Okay. Don't talk about that movie. Anyway, let's talk about Mariah in these episodes, because she was sort of like hiding like at the back for the fifth episode, when we see her getting interviewed. And Luke just runs up after she finishes this, like, outdoor establishing shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just giving her sass.
Are you threatening me, Luke? Nope. Never.
I also love that she even put, like, God, what was that line? It was, like, something like, I'd, like, not tear up. What was it? I would take your narrow ass for a ride or something like that. That was crazy.
Wear him out. He calls her a spinster.
He calls her a spinster, and she's like, I'd wear out your narrow ass. Yes. And I was like...
I was like, prove it.
You want to go get some coffee later?
Get it, Alfie. Get it. Yeah.
That was great.
That was some mama talk, too. Like, oh, wear your narrow ass out. I was like, well, damn, Alfie. That interview was intense.
It was. That was crazy.
The interviewer is, she was ready to push it. And I think Black Mariah has a similar issue to Cottonmouth in that she's not flexible. And if you're going to work with people, you've got to be able to bend a little bit. Yes. And if you had given her a story that she could have run with and been amicable, then she wouldn't have needed to push. Now, when she found out Cottonmouth got arrested, I'm sure she would have come back to ask those questions. Mm-hmm. But she may not have felt the need to out your family if you had worked with her.
That was crazy.
She didn't have anything. So she pushed on what she did have. And to see her not be prepared for that made me question her as a politician. If you have dirt and that dirt is known, like, you're supposed to have a prepared answer. You're supposed to be ready for that, you know, for people to come after that and attack your credibility.
Especially something as public as, like, family.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that maybe everybody knew about it, so no one actually really talks about it. But for some odd reason, it seemed like such a, like, big news that they were talking about it. And I was like, If people knew her in Harlem, they would know her family past. They're just like, we just don't talk about it.
Well, yeah, but
pretend like everything's fine. Everything's fine.
I get the feeling, like, again, if you're from the neighborhood and you know this person as opposed to knowing them being from your family, but she's clearly trying to rise to a new level.
True.
And that stuff doesn't play anymore because you're a little bit bigger, or you are representing the neighborhood, so people outside of the neighborhood want to know you and what you do. Yeah. Especially if you're doing a big media push. Mm-hmm. Like, it's gonna come up. And see how, like, sensitive she is about it.
Jeez.
Oh, man. She's got some rage in her, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's gonna be so good when it comes out. I was actually scared that we were all talking about when we were watching it that we thought that maybe they got the recording of her and Luke talking.
Yes.
And we were like, oh man, this is gonna ruin everything. But no, they were just, I love how it was just like we were waiting for it, and they're like, we're gonna talk about your mom. And I was like, oh, well, that's all right. Okay, go ahead.
But once they arrest, like, Cottonmouth,
that was
like,
nuts.
She like,
ran back in.
Lord.
Yeah.
Can we talk about her fine ass assistant too? What's up, boy? Looking good.
Joelle likes you.
I do. Hey.
Hey, Alex. Come save her day. Also, she wants to know if you like coffee. I'm gonna beat this joke like a dead horse.
Coffee
is ruined for me because of this stinking show. So now I can't do it. If anybody asks me
for coffee,
I can't do it. I can't ask anybody for coffee.
Damn it, no.
I know. I'll be like, I'm sorry, fiance, because he doesn't drink coffee.
No, but that's exactly
no,
how
but I know.
It started.
That's why I'm like, this is what happens. Now people are gonna be like, hey, Alex, does Neil drink coffee? I'm like, no, he doesn't drink coffee.
The coffee lines in this, like, we all lost our collective shit with Claire and, like, when Luke's like, you like coffee?
She's like, I won't sleep with you. What?
You're just getting coffee. You didn't even touch your coffee yesterday.
You had orange juice.
Don't like coffee. I see you.
Claire's too smart. We all see you, Luke.
I was like, I mean, can you blame him, though?
Are you kidding me? I would try
it's
that
Rosario
line.
Rosario Dawson. Yeah. Of course you're kidding me.
I'm sorry.
Me.
This is the guy who's, like, turning women down, like, left and right.
Yes.
Like 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but none of those women saved his life.
And also look like Rosario freaking Dawson.
They look pretty good.
No, no. I'm not saying that they're not pretty, but I'm like, Rosario Dawson. Sorry, I'm okay. Everything's fine.
Do you just see her in Sin City when you picture her?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I can't even function. I was like, I can't watch this movie.
Oh, gosh.
I love it. Everybody in the chat's just like, coffee.
As you sip your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
No, the coffee part's great. But so here's the other thing that when people are talking to, like, the whole situation with Cottonmouth is elevated because of everything he does here. And Shades disappears in this episode. Like, he takes off.
Back to Diamondback.
Presumably because, like, he's too smart at reading the terrain.
Yeah.
Because Shades, like, not only has he, like, been, like, sort of seeing how all this is unfolding and, like, why he's, like, seeing chaos.
Yeah.
He knows who Luke is.
Yes.
He finally recognizes him in these I forget if it was 5 or 6, but, like, he finally recognizes him, and he is shocked, but he almost looked impressed.
Yeah.
It's episode 5, and he's like, yeah, you should be dead. You should be dead. And
like,
I'm not sure if
he saw a ghost.
Is he impressed or is he terrified?
He looked
probably
impressed
a little bit of both
to me.
Okay, all right. See, I'm wondering if he also maybe went back to figure out, like, how did you survive? Because you're supposed to be dead. And also, what that means for him now. Like, we know that Diamondback has these, like, incredible bullets that could maybe penetrate Luke's skin.
Oh, God, that video was scary.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I would never want or hope that the military ever has stuff like that, because it's just creepy.
And pretty cool.
I mean, I love, that was actually one of my favorite scenes, because I loved how excited, even though it's terrifying, how excited Cottonmouth got watching this video.
You know, Alexis, earlier you pointed out a really good point that every time Cottonmouth laughs, like, it means something
very evil
is about to go down.
No, that's, you know how, like, Tari always picks up on, like, suspicious music or this kind of stuff? It's his laugh. Every single time that he, like, because most of the time he usually is just staring at you and he talks. But as soon as a giggle comes out of that man's mouth, I'm like, oh, someone's gonna die.
He's
and it did!
A sinister thought.
Yeah, it's just, it's either someone's gonna die, he's already thinking about your death, or he's like, oh, yeah, well, you're not gonna last anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's so strange, but I like that actor picked that up.
Yeah. He knows that this is him.
It's just a great cue for us, and I'm hoping that he comes out of prison bigger and stronger and ready to fight.
Just laughing maniacally in Joker-esque. Yeah. Because I feel it. Like if the precinct or just the law in general is so corrupt and it's so high up, I feel like even though he's been taken into custody, that I feel like they're going to take care of him.
Ooh, mob style. When the Don goes in, he gets like a big turkey and like he's fine.
Yeah, he's eating lobster.
Sort of a fist guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think his empire is too crumbled. Mm, that was the thing. Like when Fisk went down, he was at the top of his game and he just got caught. Cottonmouth is really at the bottom of his game. Yep. Like he has practically nothing now, especially because of the way that all of this came to light. And now if his journal is as intricate as Scarf made it seem, that means that the money that bought that club is also going to be considered laundered and illegal money, which means that club is not something that you can sell anymore.
It's now government property.
Yeah, exactly. Because of the way that that laws are written, and for better or worse, because there's a lot of cases where these laws are abused and used to really hurt people who don't deserve to be hurt like this.
Yeah.
But these, the police can now just take ownership of the club and the property and sell it and then take the money.
And it's $3 million, so someone's going to be excited to get their hands on it.
Do you guys think, and this is a question I wanted to pose to you, when Shades is telling him to sell the club, Mariah is telling him to sell the club, like, you could do this, should he have sold the club?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if he needed the money, I think he should have just done it. I just don't think that his pride would ever let him do that.
Once again, if you were flexible, you could have found an owner that would have kept the integrity of the club. You might have been able to find someone who's willing to partner. You could have done a lot with $1.5 million.
Or something.
You have huge debts. Like, you could have, kind of probably come to some solution. But since you were so heavy-handed and so prideful and thinking that you needed to have this club, imagine what you could have bought with the money. You could have rebuilt. You could have done a lot of things. But because you were so focused on this path, you lost everything.
I mean, who's to say that the person who ended up buying the club from him wasn't going to continue doing the same thing? You could have found a friend who owed him a favor. He's like, hey, if you buy this club from me, just keep it running.
If you could have looked into getting historical landmarks, or could have done, you had a lot of options, or you can make a clause in your buyer's contract. You have to keep the club going for so many years or whatever.
But even if you sold this one, you could have just later down the road, depending on what happened, you could have just started a whole new club and do new ideas and stuff like that. I don't know.
He really prides himself on this being Harlem's Palace is something that you get the sense this was a dream of his from childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has achieved it, and he refuses to let it go, and I can respect that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. What I'm surprised that nobody was pushing him towards is look, you're way exposed right now.
Yeah.
The police are right on your tail. There's too many murders going on, all this stuff. Lay low. He said he had $250,000, lying around.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on to that. Run the club.
Mm-hmm.
Run what is clearly a very successful Harlem nightclub. Keep it going. Keep the money flowing in. Keep low. And then pick it back up in a few years once everything's cooled down. If you want to still be living this gangster life, that's the way to do it. So I actually think selling the club, I think he was right to not sell. He was wrong in that he's not just thinking maybe I should just be a club owner for a little while.
It also shows the fact that even with Mariah talking about killing Luke, he's not thinking of big picture, kind of thing. He's only just thinking of just this one, with blinders on, this is what I want to do. And it's there's so many other options that you could have had. You just choose not to do it.
Well, sorry, say something? As many practical solutions as there are, there's a line that he says, it's something to the effect of, he's the only black man who's gotten to where he is and the status. And so, in a way, you could imagine that he sees himself as, a role model.
True.
And so to do any of those things is are a sign of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And that essentially makes him a non-role model because he's failed. So, I totally get him not wanting to sell it. And, but at the end of the day, I think that, I think his pride is right, guys. I think he should have kept it and lived in it. and let the community keep building it.
Yeah. I'm totally down for that as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I get Cottonmouth. Like, I understand him. I know people, not all the way, but a lot like Cottonmouth.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, now what do you have? Like, you done killed so many of your crew that does not instill confidence in them waiting for you to get out of prison. Like, they're going to join up with a separate crew and do whatever they need to do to survive while they're out. While he's in, rather.
Now he's going to run the club while you're gone.
Which is actually kind of exciting story-wise for the character because he's got a lot of rebuilding to do. And he is going to have all eyes on Luke, which I think is going to make him a powerful adversary. And if he goes to the same prison as Luke Westgate?
Seagate.
Yeah. I think it'll be really fascinating to see if maybe he doesn't get some.
There was actually somebody who said something in the chat about,
somebody
like,
pointed out to us like a little Easter egg like from the Marvel Universe that we totally missed in the last one. Seagate Prison is where Justin Hammer and the Mandarin were both sent from the Iron Man movies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So they're running around in there somewhere while this, like, crazy boxing ring is going on downstairs.
I still can't believe about that. But, like, also Spencer Harris in there in the chat said that he wanted Cottonmouth and Fisk to meet in prison and have the ultimate face-off.
Or team up.
Or team up. I mean, it could start out as a face-off and then turn into a team up later.
Absolutely.
I mean, if... I don't know. I haven't checked the IMDb, but like if Hammer is in there, they've been hammering the hammer type this whole time. Like, I would love if they did meet and that's how he got his empire back.
True. I can see that.
And Hammer's pretty down, so he's definitely could use the partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
Could be interesting. Any other points from these episodes that you guys want to talk about?
We talked about the death. Great chase scene through, like, abandoned building. As they're kind of trying to flee Cottonmouth's people. I really like this. I like seeing Luke use his entire body as a human shield.
It's awesome.
So that they could get away.
Yeah, Misty Scarf's scene at the very end was very touching, like we said, that we talked about how we were like, we liked you and then we hated you and now I'm crying for your death. This sucks. But I liked that dynamic and I don't know, like, I just couldn't believe that at the very end of this episode that Cottonmouth got arrested because we were just like, so what?
It's time for Diamondback to shine. I also just really want to quickly want to point out Missy's detective skills. Like, so well fleshed out, so cool seeing them in action.
In the car?
Yeah, the car where she pulls the recording trick. And even into her trying to chase Luke down when she notices the door's been busted open. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so cool to see.
Because she picks up on stuff.
Yeah, well, and to have actual detective work in these superhero stories, it's so rare that we get that. We have so much punching. We have so much, you know, oh, there's corruption and trying to... you know, interviewing suspects to get to certain things, but to see actual, like, on-the-ground police work is rare, and I think that's what makes a lot of comic books that you read so entertaining. Like, there's so many of my favorite Batmans are based off, like, detective cases where he's hardly in the suit. So to see Misty do her detective work is a lot of fun, and hopefully other people pick up on it and decide to put that in their stories.
Yeah.
I agree.
Kari, go ahead.
Oh, I just loved Night Nurse's introduction with the mugger. That
How did we forget that?
That was epic.
That was so cool.
Yeah, because if you've never had any exposure, you haven't done any of this Netflix stuff, that was the best way to show that this character means business and gets things done, doesn't need anyone to protect her. She's great.
And I also love that her mom was like, why are you late? And she's like, oh, I got mugged, but it's okay. I had to kick his ass. And I love how she wasn't like, oh, why would you do that? It was just kind of like, you have to be careful. Harlem's not the way it was before. Like, she knows the town now. And I just love how she knows that her daughter can take care of herself. But at the same time, there's still obviously concern because she's a mom.
Yeah.
But that was really cool. Just watching as the music was playing, how she was just kicking this dude's ass. And he's like, oh, you're such a whatever. And I was like, you stole her purse. And you're calling her?
Yeah.
What?
Get out of here.
More like Claire Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
All right, with that, let's hit some news and gossip before we head out of here.
AfterBuzz TV News.
We teased this last episode and then we didn't have time to talk about it, but I want to talk about it real quick before we close out today, because, like, obviously people are already talking about what would season two be? Yes. Is there going to be a season two of Luke Cage? Because, I mean, right now we have like several years of Netflix Marvel shows planned out. Next year we're going to get Iron Fist in the spring and then Defenders in the fall. Time's not officially confirmed, but like that's basically what everyone has understood. There had been rumors that they were going to move to 3 a year. What I have been hearing from different sources and things is that that is not the case. Netflix wants to stick to 2 a year. I forget if it was Netflix or Marvel. One company wanted to stick to 2 a year, okay, so they didn't overload the audience. They think
you can't
overload
me. You can't do that. You can't do it. You could try though, and I'd welcome that.
Well, that would mean the thing that would mean is that that would mean, especially because of the other Marvel shows that are going on between the Runaways, Cloak and Dagger, Agents of Shield. There's a lot of stuff going on. Marvel is moving to 3 movies a year at this point.
True.
It risks overload.
Yeah.
To a point where like more casual fans can't possibly keep up.
I respect your name.
But anyway, so they're talking about what would season two be. You already have Daredevil season 3 confirmed, Jessica Jones season 2 confirmed, a Punisher series in development.
Oh, so good.
Chio Hadari Coker, the showrunner for Luke Cage, said that, also talking about Heroes for Hire and whether or not we're going to get that, because we keep teasing it. We keep teasing it like fish in this episode. He says, we don't go into Heroes for Hire in season 1 of Luke Cage. Luke Cage season 1 is ultimately about the evolution of a hero.
Awesome.
But he says, well, I mean, because Iron Fist is supposedly not going to be in this season. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen the whole thing, but that's what I've, my understanding is.
Okay.
Those of you that have heard, I don't want confirmation one way or the other. Just no hold spoilers.
It. Hold it. We'll get there.
he said, well, I mean, Finn Jones will be in the mix for the Defenders. In terms of Luke Cage, Netflix has to order a second season first. And trust me, I don't want to take any of this for granted because, I mean, there's no more sure thing. There was no more sure thing than vinyl.
Wow.
But so basically what I'm hearing from all this, and like basically there's like a little bit of like some doubt about Iron Fist and like whether it would be the show that would have 2 seasons.
Right.
And personally, and maybe this is just me putting what I personally want to see them do, because comics, what's so great is that they do the team-ups, where it's just the two names of characters in the title, and you already have these two characters who absolutely need to be together for a season of television.
Please, God.
So I don't see why they wouldn't just, like, say, no season 2 for Luke Cage, no season 2 for Iron Fist, Luke Cage and Iron Fist,
together.
Heroes for Hire. Yeah. And that's just a show of its own.
Yeah.
I don't, like, why not do that? You could have Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and then Heroes for Hire.
Married to the showrunners. You know, I'd say get an entirely different cinematographer. I want a completely different
look. It gets
look.
Both of these characters back in front of your eyes much faster than if you had to wait for separate series.
Sure.
And these two obviously need to be together.
Obviously.
BFFs. these two are BFFs for life, and I know I'm repeating. That's why I'm repeating.
They're so cute.
All right. But so that does it for news and gossip. Do we want to do some predictions?
Yes, please.
In this? We haven't done them.
No, because we need to watch the next episode, yeah.
But this is going to be our last after show for today. We will be back to talk about episodes 7 and 8 and then 9 and 10 1 week from today.
Mm-hmm.
Next Saturday, the 8th of October, we're going to be in here talking more Luke Cage. Until then, what are you guys predicting? What do you think is going to happen?
I agree with Joelle that I think it's now time for Dimebag to
emerge.
Rise.
Yes,
because I think this is the time where like, all right, we had Cottonmouth. That was awesome. Now we need that next level of baddie.
And just think about what Shade said. This isn't the Diamondback you remember.
Yeah, yes. And that's what I want to see.
Lady Diamondback, bring it. I'm really
that's
excited.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I was thinking also.
Yep, I'm really, really, really hoping for a Lady Diamondback. I'm also hoping that we get more of Luke Cage's backstory. I want to see Mariah fully emerge into like queen villain, because I think that would be just epic, and we haven't really had a female villain in the MCU yet. And then finally, I lost it. Hold on, it'll come back. I want to see Luke get
taken down. If this is a hero's journey, he's had a good rise, and we left him in such a sweet place. Like, it's so good for him right now. I think he needs to get his neck stepped on a little bit. Just story-wise, not because I want to see anything bad happen to Luke.
Sure.
But I just think he's got to get kind of drilled into the ground so that he can build back up.
But I want to actually, because we talked, like, we all talked about how we didn't know who was good and who was bad, mm-hmm. especially in the precinct right now. If we had a Lady Diamondback, maybe it's the captain.
Oh, my God.
Oh! Yeah, because there is something a little shady about her.
Right? And I'm like, how? Come on. If you think about it, she's the perfect actress. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm having a moment. It would be so awesome.
I legitimately thought you were crying for a moment.
I'm pretty close. You guys, villains are my favorite, and we so rarely get, like, black female villains.
But think of it. Like, if she's Lady Diamondback, it makes sense that actress would be really good because she can play a good person, and she's like, oh, I don't know what's going on, because maybe she actually didn't know what was happening, and now she's like, okay, Cottonmouth's in jail. All right, I can do this now. It's fine.
I guess I got to take Harlem back.
Exactly, and then she can kind of, like... tell Misty, I'm like, you just go over here. Don't mind what's happening behind the big green curtain. Like, whatever, you know? It would be perfect.
I'm sold on this idea. This idea
just,
wins.
Well, it's funny because you were talking about it, and I was just like, if anybody goes back to watch the video, you just see me go. And nobody noticed because they were looking at you, and I was like, I'm gonna wait.
I got this. Oh, man, that would be so beautiful. I love her. Right. She's so dynamic to watch.
Tari, yeah, sorry. Any final predictions?
Nothing as great as that. I will say that I think that now that Luke Cage is in the light, his past is going to come back to haunt him, especially now that Shades mm-hmm. knows that he is Carl. Mm, so that will be the next piece, is him dealing with his frame job and all that stuff, being a cop and all that.
And not to mention that, like, Carl Lucas escaped from prison.
Yep.
Yeah.
Effectively. Yep. The fact that he's considered alive, like, oh my he's God. A wanted man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Y'all, I can't That's see Luke Cage in handcuffs. Good. I can't see him be cuffed after becoming Luke Cage. Like, that would break me inside.
Well, one of the things,
might happen,
one of the things that they've talked a lot about this show, and we have yet to really see it, is a guy like Luke Cage dealing with the police. And it's a very relevant topic to, like, everything that's going on. They said that they are absolutely going to tackle it. We've seen just in the trailers, there was this shot from a police dash cam of Luke Cage throwing what appeared to be an officer at the car.
Yep. There will be tears.
It is scarily relevant to what's going on the show to have a bulletproof black man having to interact with cops, and that would put him directly in front of them as an innocent man who was framed and then he escaped from prison out of no reason of his own. Like, he was basically forced into it by
I'm just trying to survive still haunts me. Like just seeing him fight for literally for his life and then have to be immediately taken down, and just as he's just I'm just trying to survive. I don't want to go through that again. I thought it was
bad. You just said that you're ready to see him.
I'm met by other people. The cops are going to break me. Oh, God.
Well, guys, looking forward so much to seeing this, how this plays out.
Okay.
As I said, we will be back 1 week from today, early in the morning, Saturday, so you can, like, do another day with us. We're not going to do three in a day. We're going to do two. So we're going to cover episode 7 through 10 on Saturday, October 8th, if you can make it there with us. But I think we did a lot today, you guys.
Did.
We watched a lot of TV.
It was fun.
It was awesome.
Everybody breathe. We can all go now relax for a little bit. I'm going to go watch 7 and 8.
Yeah!
And then rewatch all of it.
Together.
Again.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys. So until next week, I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ThatZachWilson. Check me out every Tuesday, except for this one because they're off, on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show. Every Wednesday on Sci-Fi Weekly, where Jesse Klein, who couldn't be here today, and I dissect everything about television. This week, we are actually going to talk about Luke Cage. They're doing a pilot roundup to talk about the sci-fi pilots that hit this week, including Luke Cage, Westworld, and Timeless. So I'm not going to say which one's which. We had a show that we know is going to be good, a show that could be good, could be bad, depending on how things go, and a show that we're pretty sure is going to be bad. I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. Just a hunch. So join us there. Tari Miller.
A lot.
Hey, guys. I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Tari J. It's TauriJay. You can also find me on the DC block. That is Flash, Arrow, Supergirl. Yep.
Flash this week, right?
Yes. Flash comes back this week. Yeah. Arrow comes back this week. And Supergirl on the 10th.
Yes. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Check back here tomorrow for Westworld, which I have seen the first two episodes already, and I promise you, it is worth your time. If you're hesitant, if you're concerned, throw it out the window. You have no need to be. HBO has got your back. The show is everything to me. Yeah, and then come back Tuesday for Atlanta, Donald Glover's epic, awesome show.
I'm Alexis. I don't even know how I can go after all of you guys. I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me all over social media as atorres890. I also do a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz and all our sister networks here. I am actually on the Lethal Weapon Avengers show. Some people hate it. I freaking love it. Damon Wayans is my spirit animal. I love him so much.
So
I'm also, Bob's Burgers is coming, came back last week, but we're doing episode one tomorrow. So definitely check that out. Also, I'm going to be doing Timeless Monday. I think it's at 8 p.m. You know you want to join me. You know you want to see this space and talk about time. At least I've met the crew, the cast and crew. They're awesome people. I want to support them, and I'm actually really intrigued to see what this TV show is all about, to be really freaking honest.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by Timeless.
I know.
We'll
but
see.
The pilot, I'm all about,
it's not bad.
It's not bad, but yeah. I love time travel, and I really just want to see where it goes. So join me for that, will you?
All right, guys. This has been the Luke Cage After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Sweet Christmas!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.